Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about service in the kingdom, what you can do to help move the kingdom forward, and some of you are already doing that. You already recognize your calling, you recognize your place in the kingdom, but even at that, God wants to take you higher. He wants to take you from glory to glory and into a place of more responsibility, into a place of more revelation in your relationship with God. And so we're going to be talking about laying down your own personal pursuits, laying down your own personal desires, your will, and your plans for your life, and taking up the plan of Jesus Christ and the plan of Almighty God. And when you do that, beloved, I guarantee you God will have a blessing for you. He will have a great and mighty crown of reward for you, a soul winner's crown, and a crown for those who love his appearing. And so if you have your Bible there, we're going to look at how you can come to serve God, enjoy your service, and be a blessing to the kingdom as God blesses you in return. Well, Matthew 20, verse 25, Jesus called the disciples to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them." He's talking about the people who are subject to the rulers. "Yet it shall not be so among you," Jesus said, "but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave." And verse 28, this is the key verse here I want to focus in on. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so we take our example from Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the suffering Savior, who came to this earth not to lord it over us, not to boss us around, or to set up a kingdom of stringent rules and regulations that no man can adhere to. But Jesus came to serve. It says in the Bible that he had compassion on the multitudes, and that he went into all the cities and all of the villages, and he healed all that were sick, all that were demon-possessed, all that were troubled. And so we, as Christians, as believers, as those who are born again, it is our responsibility, it is our hope and our desire and our privilege to also do that very same thing, to serve on behalf of Jesus, to serve and to reach out to the multitudes, to reach out to those who are lost, not to lord it over them, not to set up a structure to place heavy burdens upon them. That isn't the will of God, but to serve them and to show them the love of Christ and to show them how they can love other people that ordinarily in other ways they could not love. And so, beloved, this is our example, our suffering Savior, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. He did not come to this earth to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Well, of course, we know that he accomplished the purpose for which he came. He accomplished his mission, and he became a ransom for many. He went to the cross. He suffered beyond what any man has ever suffered. His face was marred more than any man. He had no form or recognizable face. And yet we know that he was fulfilling his purpose. He was fulfilling the purpose for which God had sent him. And so that is our calling as well. That is our charge, our mission, that we are to go to serve. And I know some of you out there, you are content with sitting in church. You're content with being a bench warmer. And that is okay for now. That's a good place to be. It's a better place than to not be in church and not be engaged in the body of Christ. But I know that God has something greater for you. He has a higher purpose and a higher calling for your life. He wants you to move forward. And every single person, if you're listening to my voice today, every single person, you have a higher calling. You have something greater that has been called out for you. God knew you before you were born. He placed your destiny upon you even before you were born, and so it is His will that you move forward into your highest calling. You may be retired. I know a lot of you out there listening to me today, you're retired. You're not in a secular life or a life of going to work every day. You have freedom from that, and so God is giving you an opportunity to get involved in service to the kingdom in ways that maybe you've never thought about before. Maybe you can go to some of the places and people that I'm going to be talking about here in just a little bit, the least of these of mine. Maybe some of you can get on a plane and come on a mission trip, go on a mission trip. Maybe some of you can start a soup kitchen or start some kind of a children's home, or I don't know what all God is speaking to you today, but you can open up your mind, you can open up your heart, you can open up your pocketbook, you can open up your bank account, your checking account, and you can push the kingdom forward in some way. And in some measure, you can move it forward that you never have before, maybe you've never even considered before. And so our example, again, is Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came to serve and who did not come to be served. Well, in verse 33 in Matthew 25, this is the passage of scripture that inspired me originally to go into prison ministry. And I can say after preaching in prisons for 18 years, what a tremendous blessing it has been for me to go into the prisons and be able to share the love of Jesus and share the gospel. For many years, I went in there and was working full time. I would run in from the field or from my store business, and I would go and take a shower and end up in the prison 15 minutes later, and stay till 9:30 every Friday night, and then go back in again on Sunday afternoon. And by the grace of God, I've been able to preach in prisons over 2,000 services, lead worship on many of those, take my guitar in, lead worship. And I can tell you that the Father has blessed me, Jesus has blessed me more than I ever blessed any of those inmates in there. And the blessing continues even to this day, because through the prison ministry, God opened up avenues for me to preach. I was able to hone my preaching skills, you might say, or develop my preaching skills in the prisons. And then God started to open up. He was preparing me for greater things. He started to open up doors for me to preach crusades and come to Africa, go to Central America, places around the world where I've been able to preach, had the privilege to preach, and the privilege to serve the kingdom of God and the children, His children here on this earth. Well, verse 31, let's look at that. Start there in Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Well, this is a picture of the end time, when the separation between the good and the bad, and those that know the Lord and those who don't, the separation, the end time battle has taken place, and the judgment is here. And so God is not going to condemn a whole nation. He's not separating them as a whole nation goes to heaven or a whole nation is condemned. That's not what it's saying. He's gathering the nations before Him. All the nations will come against the Lord at the end time battle at Armageddon, Revelation chapter 20, the end time battle, and then the judgment will come. But each person is going to face the judgment. Each person will make an account for his life and for the decision that he has made according to the revelation that he has been given. And so then it says that the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Verse 35, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." So these are the six categories that Jesus lays out. And he defines them as the least of these. He defines them in a way that you understand that these are the least of the people on the face of the earth. These are the least of the people that are considered by most to be untouchable, despicable, people they don't want to associate with, outcasts, people that are too dirty or live on the wrong side of the tracks, the wrong color of skin, the wrong social network, or the wrong stratus in society. And so these are the people that most people shun, and they have a hard time relating to them. They have a hard time socializing with them or reaching out to them, appreciating them. And so Jesus is saying, these are the ones that I want you to focus on. These are the ones that I want you to reach out to and share the love and share the kingdom that has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me food. Well, beloved, there are many, many people on the earth that are hungry. Billions probably go to bed every night hungry. We don't know how blessed we are in America. I invite you to come to Africa and take a look. If you would come to Africa, look around and you'll see many, many hungry people. My heart goes out to them. We're feeding people every week at the preschool there in Maione, the New Hope preschool. And we're going to be feeding orphans as soon as we get the children's home opened up. Just last week, I was at a Muslim family out in the village of Makunda, and there was 9 children in the family, a mother and a father. The mother is away in Nairobi, 300 kilometers away, and she is trying to make money so that the family can have food to eat. The father's unemployed. He's looking for a job, which there aren't very many jobs around here to look for starters. But he is looking for some kind of work. He's some type of a Boda Boda or motorcycle mechanic. And so he's trying to put some coins together to buy food. But those 9 children, they were very hungry. The oldest boy, 17 years of age, he's very hungry. He's skinny as a rail. And so I bought him a lunch. And so there are many hungry people in the world. Jesus says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. Well, in our Living Water Orphanage farm, we have a 4-acre farm outside of Makunda there, and we are giving away water free of charge, blessed, clean, pure, drinkable water. We're giving it away free of charge. All the villagers around there come with their 20-liter jugs, and they fill up their jugs, and they can drink that water. They can cook with it. The ladies come down there with their laundry and put their laundry pails out there, fill it with our water, and do their laundry right there on the bank right beside the spring. And so we are giving away free water. Most of the people around here that have water supply, they are charging anywhere from 5 to 20 shillings for a 20-liter jug. And so it's a source of income for them if they have water to sell. We're giving away water in the name of Jesus. We want the Muslims, especially in that Makunda village, to come and get water, and we want to bless them and make their lives better with good, clean, pure water to drink. Then Jesus said, I was a stranger and you took me in. Well, let me ask you, beloved, when was the last time you took a stranger into your house? I know it's a bit of a stretch this day and age. It's a bit uncomfortable this day and age, as many crazy people as there are out there and violent people. It's a bit of a risk and a bit uncomfortable to take a stranger into your house, but even a stranger that has been arranged for you to take. How many of you have taken a stranger into your house? And yet, this is what God asks us to do. He asks us to take the foreigner into our midst, and I'm not a proponent in this regard. I'm not a proponent of gate crashers or people who are illegally coming into this country. I don't believe that's right. I don't believe we are called to take in everybody who wants to illegally immigrate into America. We can't accommodate tens and hundreds of millions of people who would love to come to America just because Jesus said you took the stranger in. But I am a proponent of legal immigration and of taking in people who are destitute and want to legally come into this country. And then in verse 36, Jesus said, I was naked and you clothed me. Well, beloved, we buy clothes for the children at preschool. We buy uniforms for them. We buy mattresses for them to sleep on. And some of them we bought shoes. Some of them we bought clothes because they don't have regular clothes to wear either besides the uniforms. And Jesus said in verse 36, I was sick and you visited me. Beloved, when was the last time you went to the hospital to pray with somebody? Just go there. Just go and pray with people. When you go and pray with people in the hospital, you make their day usually. You light up their life and you bless them. We prayed for this Muslim boy, 17-year-old boy. He had diabetic shock. He was in a daze, could not talk. Prayed for him and his mother, and God gave him a healing, raised him up. His blood sugar dropped. He was, within a day, he was back to normal with his blood sugar, and he's still doing very well. And so you need to pray for the sick. If they're sick in your family, pray for them. Bless them, encourage them, strengthen them. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much, the scripture says. So you have nothing to risk. You're not risking your own power. You're not risking your reputation. You're not risking anything. It's God's power. God is the one who heals. You are the one who just makes the prayer, who lays the hands on them and prays. Or you can even pray without even being near the person. Just pray. Spend time in intercession, in prayer for the sick and for those who aren't as fortunate as you are. And it says, I was in prison and you came to me. Well, again, I thank the Lord for all the times I've been able to go into the prisons, not just in America, but in Africa. And those who are in prison face a tremendous burden. They're not only separated from their families, but most of the time the conditions there are not too great. Especially in Africa, the conditions are actually deplorable, very dirty, very poor hygiene, very little food to eat. A lot of immoral stuff goes on in the prisons, and a lot of disgusting, despicable things goes on there in terms of sex trade and prostitution. And so to visit those in prison and bring a blessing to them is a great thing. And it's a blessing to not only the prisoners, not only the inmates, but also to those who go in and share the love of Christ. Verse 37, well, the righteous will answer Jesus saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And so Jesus is saying, when you minister to the least of these, when you minister to the outcasts and to those who are considered untouchable and dirty and despicable and the wrong side of the tracks, the wrong race, the wrong ethnic tribe, when you minister to them, those society deems irredeemable, those that society deems throwaways, when you minister to them, you have done it to the least of these of mine. And Jesus said, when you have ministered to them, you have also ministered unto me. Well, beloved, I can't tell you how many times I have gone into the prison, maybe been a little tired, a little weary, a little worn, a little depressed, and come out of there feeling great, come out of there feeling lighthearted and with my countenance lifted. And it is because you see Jesus in places like that. And the same when you go into the hospital, visit the sick, the same when you give money to a missionary or a mission for medical purposes, or to hold a crusade to take the soul-winning message of Jesus to those who are lost. When you do that to the least of these of mine, you've done it also unto me. Well, Jesus goes on to say in verse 41 here, then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, that's speaking of hell. That's the condemnation. That's the separation from God, the eternal fire, the place where the worm never dies and the fire never goes out. And so Jesus is separating the nations here. He's separating the people in the nations. And he's saying, depart from me into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it unto me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Well, beloved, many people think they're living a righteous life. Many people think that they're living a good Christian life. There are sins of commission, that is, sins that you choose to do and you know they are against the will of God, such as lying and cheating and stealing and murder and rape and those things that we choose to do with our conscience mind. But there are also sins of omission. And these sins are that when we are smug in our righteousness, when we are proud of our righteousness and we think we're a good person and we're proud of our salvation and we think all we have to do is sit on the bench in church and warm the bench and don't have to go out and battle for the kingdom, then Jesus says, when you have not done it to the least of these of mine, then you have not done it to me or for me. In other words, when you have ignored the outcast, when you have ignored the poor, when you've hoarded your money and not shared it with those who are out there ministering and out there on the front lines of the battle, when you have not done it to the least of these of mine, then Jesus said, you have not done it unto me. And so they also will be sent into the everlasting fire, into that place of condemnation, into that place of wretchedness, of darkness and fire, where the worm never dies and the fire never goes out. Well, I'm going to close here in Philippians. This is from the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Philippi. And Paul says to these baby believers, this is in chapter 3, verse 8, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So Paul says, everything that I have gained, everything that I am proud about or used to be proud about and used to think was a great accomplishment in my life, something to boast about, Paul says, I count those as rubbish. They don't amount to anything. They're nothing to boast about. Paul says, what I count as glory, what I count as victory, is the suffering that I have come to know for my Lord and my Savior, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and being conformed to his death. And verse 11 there, Paul clinches it here. He says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, that is the resurrection on the final day, not that I have already attained it or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ also laid hold of me. Well, Paul wasn't asking to be a perfect person. He didn't mean perfection in the term of sinless or sin-free. What he's saying is being perfected. He's being moved into maturity. He's been moved into a place of maturity in his walk with the Lord, where he understands that to serve Jesus, to serve his fellow man here on this earth, and to be the hand and feet of Jesus, to share the love of Christ with those who don't know him here on this earth, that is our greatest and our highest calling. That is the purpose for which God prepared Paul and separated him and elevated him and exalted him, to bring glory to the Father, to bring glory to Jesus Christ, And Paul, as you know, he ended up giving up his life. He was executed in prison over in Rome. But it was not until he had shared the love of Christ with many, many, probably millions of people, wrote letters that we're even reading today. Many Gospels, many of the letters of the Gospel in the New Testament were written by the Apostle Paul. And so, beloved, I challenge you today, do something for the kingdom that is greater than yourself. Reach out to the least of these of mine. Get to know what it is to suffer for Jesus, because in that suffering, you will come to know the joy that Jesus has for you, the joy that he spoke over you even before you were born, when he designated your calling and designated your charge. And so if you will fulfill that, you will come to know what his plan for you is. Well, God bless you. Thank you for listening. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite you to partner with this ministry, not only to take the soul-winning message of the gospel to the nations, but also to keep this radio broadcast going, to feed the hungry here in Africa, to give the children hope, and to give the children food in their tummy. And so we invite you to join us in that effort. Stay tuned after this broadcast for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week.